Welcome back to this episode of Unexpected Adventures in North Alabama. If you're a music lover, this episode is for you. So like always, today we have a great guest, and I'm so excited about Ryan Murphy, who is the managing director for the Orion Amphitheater, being my guest today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Well, before we jump in, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I've been living here in Huntsville for about 4.5 years. Originally from Florida. I've spent most of my career and life in Florida, born and raised in Florida. I've traveled the world touring in bands, working with bands, living in other places, but pretty much my whole career and life was centered in Florida. And before I moved here to North Alabama, I was running the cultural events division for St. John's County in Florida, which I was a county director, which I oversaw the St. Augustine Amphitheater, Ponte Vedra Concert Hall, multiple festivals throughout the year for the city of St. Augustine. And it led me here. I've been in music, and just every time I've tried to get away from the music business, it sucked me back in. And so I guess I belong squarely in the music industry. So I'm having fun.
Well, awesome. Yeah, it just won't let you go, huh?
it really will not.
Drags you back in for more.
Well, yeah.
It sounds like the Orion has the perfect person to be managing this. So
thank you.
Yeah. Well, let's jump right in and learn more about the Orion. So, so word on the street is that the Orion is the brainchild of Ben Lovett from Mumford and Sons. Can you explain like how that came to be and why he chose Huntsville, Alabama?
Yeah, I'll give a brief version of the long story, but, Ben is my partner and CEO and all of this for TVG Hospitality, who is the company that we all work for that Ben created and who run the Orion on behalf of the city of Huntsville. So we're coming up actually next month will be a year or 10 years that I've been working with Ben Lovett. 10 years ago, his band Mumford & Sons came to St. Augustine, Florida they chose St. Augustine as a Gentleman of the Red stopover. And I got to meet Ben through that process and became fast friends. And then Mike Luba, who is up at Forest Hill Stadium up in Queens, New York, he was one of the main producers of the event. Well, we became friends. We kept in touch over the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And about 5 years ago, a little over 5 years ago now, they came to me. They knew my tenure was kind of coming to an end in St. John's County. I was wanting to move with my family. And Mike Luba actually had me up to New York and he said, "Hey, listen, come meet with me." We sat at a diner. He's like, "I have a perfect project for you. It's me and Ben Lovett have been talking to this city. They really are anxious to invest in their community, into the arts and quality of life. They have vision. You know, they have a lot of passion. Mm-hmm. They're looking at something outside the box. And it'd be me, you, and Ben putting together this amphitheater, designing it, helping oversee the construction, operating it similar to the way you've done in St. Augustine for the last 10 years. And I said, "I'm in." Like, to work with you and Ben, I was like, "That's a dream," you know? And we sat there for a good amount of time talking about it until I realized, I said, "Oh, wait, where is it?" He said, "Huntsville, Alabama." And I said, "Yeah, I'm not doing that." He said, "Why?" And I said, "Well, you know, I think it's a part in my career and my life. I'm trying to head north. I'm trying, you know, I have two little ones. We're trying to look for getting out of the South, mainly because of like just climate and like it was a little oppressive heat wise for a while, and to have two little ones." So as I was talking to him, I realized, I was like, "You know what?" He was like, "Have you ever been to Huntsville, Alabama?" I said, "No, I haven't." I was like, "I've been through Birmingham recently, but I've never been to Huntsville." He goes, "Why don't you go there and check it out?" So. Yeah. You know, my wife and I traveled over and we fell in love with the place and we said, "We're in." And so that was kind of the beginning. But Ben's involvement started before that meeting, where him and a couple other the people I work with, including Mike Gluba, they had gotten word from a company called Sound Diplomacy and a gentleman named Shane Shapiro, who had done a music audit for the city of Huntsville, the first city in the United States that had done this work done through Sound Diplomacy. And what Sound Diplomacy did is they came into Huntsville and said, "We're going to study your community, your city. We're going to look at the economics, the arts, the industry, the infrastructure, and we're going to build a plan around making suggestions and recommendations to you as a city to how to lean into the music economy specifically." Really great thing that I was always trying to emphasize in St. John's County. So one of Shane Shapiro's recommendations was an amphitheater. Mm-hmm. And that amphitheater that's I'm sitting in right now actually came to fruition. But a lot of it had to do with the fact that Ben Lovett was there driving it. He got me on board. Mm-hmm. 5 years ago, we were in New Orleans at a design charrette. He pulled out a napkin where he had drawn this Roman Colosseum looking thing, saying, "This is what we're going to build." And I said, "You're insane. Like, why would, because I think it's interesting, and not to go too far down this, but you think about Huntsville, Alabama, it feels like a city of the future. There's mm-hmm. biotech, there's NASA, there's Blue Origin. Yeah. So to build something from scratch, it seems like, shouldn't it look like it's from outer space? Shouldn't it look like the most cutting edge technology? Where if anything, we went as far back as possible to build this really Roman Colosseum looking amphitheater. And yeah, it's been absolutely amazing. And Ben is very hands-on. We talk every day. And he's here with me every step of the way.
Yeah. Wow. That is so cool. And I love how the vision started on a napkin. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is so cool. That is so cool. Yeah. And Huntsville, it's one of those places, which I grew up in North Alabama. So I grew up going to Huntsville, you know, I grew up out in the small community. So it was like going to town for us, you know, us country kids, but sure. So I've watched it grow and become this amazing city, now the largest city in Alabama. And, you know, but it's still, I tell people when we go to travel shows, I'm like, you know, Huntsville, they'll say, "Oh, we haven't been in 20 years. I'm like, "You're not going to recognize Huntsville." Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. And, but it still has kept, even though it's a big city, there's tons of stuff going on. It still feels like a small, it has a small town appeal to it as well.
Yeah, it feels like a community, you know. Yeah, it feels like it's getting some of those big city vibes, you know. But you can go to the coffee shop and the record store and the restaurant. I love, like, I just feel like I dove in head first and fell in love with this place and got to know the people here, and it's really paid dividends as far as like just the community and people's involvement. Really passionate city for sure.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is, the community that still gives it that that small town vibe. You feel connected to people.
That's right. So, yeah, absolutely.
That is so cool. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, having been to several shows there, I mean, the first time I went, I remember thinking, whoa, because you kind of come around and then you see this huge, you know, amphitheater, and it's quite the sight to take in, and then just to be in there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the first show I saw was Dave Matthews, and the whole next day at work, I thought, was that a dream? Like, did I dream that? I mean, it really felt like this dream event, you know? And I thought, no, that was not a dream. That was real. Like, you've got pictures, you've got, you know, you could prove you were there.
It's amazing from, you know, the fan and, you know, the patrons and the fans coming in, the guests on that side. And then that show in particular, Dave Matthews, getting such amazing feedback from him and his team and crew saying, "Oh my God, like, what a gorgeous building." When he was walking off stage, his comment, he turned to his tour manager and a few of us standing there, and he's like, "I want to take this venue everywhere I go. It's the perfect venue." And he walked away and I was like, well, that man's performed a lot of places in the world.
A few places.
So I think that's the thing. We're really killing it on not only the guests and fan side, but the artists are head over heels in love with this facility. And that's what keeps them coming back. That's what keeps us growing. So that's, and when they get out there, you could tell Dave had a great show. So therefore the fan has a great time because he's relaxed. It sounds great. It feels good.
Yeah. It's just magic. It all comes together and just creates magic.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
That is so awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, tell our listeners then what kinds of events that you have at the Orion.
Yeah, so a lot. So I think, you know, this is one of the main carryovers, I think, that I know that I brought over from St. Augustine, and something that really helps us stand out. It's not just the 20 to 30 major concerts we have a year. Mm-hmm. You know, it's and that in and of itself is substantial. But in St. Augustine, I was, you know, admittedly very restless. I think I get bored pretty easily. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really understand how there was a lot of facilities out there, especially municipalities that were investing in these amphitheaters, putting a lot of money and time and effort into building these venues, and then only having 20 to 30 events a year. Mm-hmm. And so to see it remain dormant. So for myself, I was like, what can we be doing in those days in between? What can mm-hmm. we be doing, especially that engages and ingratiates itself in the community, working with nonprofits, local school groups, mm-hmm. local universities, local small businesses. And so I started, whether it be farmers markets and some different events there, that the spirit of that is really what we carried over to here at the Orion. And I think it is one of the main reasons we got this contract with the city, was we were going to be more than just a concert venue. There's right. you know, flexibility, and it's dynamic, and it's a place for everyone. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we do everything from movies in the meadow, which we're showing these free movie series. A lot of that lately has leaned into, we've gotten the support of North Alabama, specifically because we're showing the Muscle Shoals documentary, mm-hmm. the Jason Isbell documentary, a lot of cool stuff from that. This week, for instance, we're showing Goonies. It's free to the public. But we do like a Hispanic Heritage Festival called La Cultura. We mm-hmm. do a cool record fair called Vintage and Vinyl that takes over the campus. We have different pride events. We have yoga classes. We have women's circles. We have all kinds of really cool gatherings, small festivals like Sluice Fest coming up this weekend. It's a really cool DIY festival from people in the community. Mm-hmm. But for me, local school groups, you know, really ramping up the ability to do more field trips with kids. So I think it's part of the mission. And I think this is a really important piece that I think I always like to emphasize. We're doing this on behalf of the city of Huntsville. Mm-hmm. This to me is an amenity for the citizens of Huntsville, right. visitors as well. But for on any given day, if someone were to come over and enjoy the amphitheater, hopefully it's because there's something really cool, unique. There's a cool event happening. Yeah. But this is for the city of Huntsville. So therefore, the programming tries to reach out. So if we're just doing 20 to 30 major shows a year, I don't think we're touching every corner of this community. Where if we are doing like the Hispanic Heritage mm-hmm. Festival, we're doing different, you know, like yoga classes and mm-hmm. record fairs and all kinds of, it gives people a lot of different reasons to come here, check us out, and support us. And it gives us a good reason to support a lot of these local organizations, small businesses, nonprofits, school groups, stuff like that. And that to me is a big win. That was when I was in Florida, that was like, if you have the backing and the buy-in of the community, because they really feel you've built something that's a community center, mm-hmm. that I feel is the win. And, you know, we happen to have Fish and Dave Matthews and Snoop Dogg and, you know, Smashing yeah. Pumpkins. And that's the cool part, right? Yeah. But it's like the coolest part is the fact that we're here for the people, and that way it can evolve and grow. And yeah, we're just always trying to think outside the box. Like, you know, we're having A&M is doing their summer Shakespeare series called Bard in the Yard. So they build the stage oh. right behind in the artist meadow where we're showing the movies, and they do their Shakespeare program. But stuff like that is what, to me, that's what keeps it exciting. That's the fun part.
Yeah, that's so cool because it gives people an opportunity to be involved that might not have that opportunity otherwise. So that's cool, that community. That's right. Yeah, that's so neat. And you also did something really fun last winter. I had a broken ankle, so I could not participate. But do you want to tell us what you did last winter?
Yeah, I will. Let me quickly say that, again, I'll keep on referencing St. Augustine because that is where I got to really kind of test a lot of this out and, you know, really cut my teeth. But when I was in St. Augustine, there is a program called Winter Wonderland where we built an ice skating rink in the middle of the amphitheater. We had ice slides and horse-drawn carriages and elf villages and Santa Claus and all that kind of stuff. Well, anyways, it was really hard being on the coast of Florida, even in the winter, to maintain an ice rink. Yeah. And so a few years in, I pulled the plug on it, and word got out before we were able to announce that we weren't going to do Winter Wonderland anymore. And there was a front page headline the next day I woke up to that said, Ryan Murphy is the Grinch that stole Christmas. And it was all about how I had killed this family tradition event and all this kind of stuff. And so I got a lot of heat for it.
Wow.
But I ended up doing another like free concerts and a lot of winter programming instead of the ice rink. And I said, I'm never doing an ice rink again. And lo and behold, I was eating crow last year when, you know, Ben especially was dry. He's like, we should do an ice rink in that amphitheater during the winter when we're not having concerts. I said, nope. And then eventually I said yes. And so I had to go back on my word. And so we built an ice rink and it was great. You know, the temperatures here in North Alabama are much different than they are in Florida during the winter. So we had an ice rink and it's an event called Winter Park. We're going to be bringing it back this year with an ice rink and, you know, different events. And we have Santa Claus and we have a bunch of stuff, a great Kindle market, a lot of stuff revolving around the, you know, seasonal holiday stuff this winter.
That is so cool. Do you dress up as the Grinch?
No.
You make an appearance.
Yeah, I don't have to. People just know.
So. You're not the Grinch in Alabama, so.
Yeah, not yet.
Yeah, it looked magical, all the lights and everything. And so, yeah, that's on my list for this winter for sure. Yeah. No broken ankles this year.
Yeah.
I'm calling it. Well, tell us about how the amphitheater tries to be more eco-friendly. Tell us what the Turn Cup is.
Yeah, I think another aspect and one of the major pillars and tenets of what we do. So we just kind of talked about one, which is the diverse programming, the programming outside the major concerts that helps us stand out from other operators in our industry. The second piece, which I think a lot of people are doing, but I think we do above and beyond. Truly, which is our sustainability practices. And this, again, comes from something I was doing in St. Augustine, which is I had worked to make us zero single-use plastic free at some point, making sure none of the plastic water bottles, none of the like solo cups, plastic cups, stuff like that. So I really had to look into what we could be doing there. And I was able to execute some amazing programs there. Here, we've done the same thing. And what we're doing is not only are we single-use plastic free, so back of house, we use, especially for the workers, the stage hands, a lot of the crew, we have refill stations throughout and they have canteens. Even the front of house, our GSAs, our guest services people, box office people, they get canteens that we've, you know, Orion water bottles and canteens that they can refill. People are encouraged to bring water bottles to shows, et cetera. But the major program we do is the Turn Cup. And I'm actually using one right now. And it so happens. But so basically, this is a reusable cup program. So when you go to get a drink, you know, you get this cup and then you're able to put it. I don't want to say you can take it with you, but you can. Some people have like walked out with it. You're supposed to return it. We wash it. We bring it back. So basically, you're not using the same cup throughout the night either. You know, we're washing cups, we're storing cups, but you're not using a single use product. You know, you're returning your cup to some of the receptacle bins. They're being washed, they're sterilized, returned, stored. So all of this means we're not putting cups in the landfill, you know, even at best, even if we had looked at some of the like aluminum cup programs, the energy it takes to even recycle a lot of the aluminum products far exceeds what it takes just to wash these cups.
Yeah.
So this is right now, the technology is always changing, but right now this is far and above what's out there as far as these programs go. So really happy about that. Really sensitive to our carbon emissions. We're monitoring that at all times. We have an artist garden where we've planted a ton of products in our artist meadow that we're, you know, using for our F&B, like we're using for a lot of the bars, the garnishes, we're using it for the caterer backstage. So there's we're composting, that compost is going into the garden. So it's kind of a closed network of like what we're doing here as far as that. And coming up soon, we're looking at a lot of solar power initiatives. We're going to start plugging into Mid-City where there's an electric car program for our fleet vehicles, for artist transport, stuff like that. So anything that's out there, I mean, I think to put it simply, you know, we throw giant parties where we invite 8,000 people to show up to watch Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah.
And it's not on them. You know, it's not on the person coming. It's on us to be responsible for the waste management of this party. And so when they leave, what kind of mess or what kind of impact has it had? So we're very mindful and intentional on how we look at waste streams, how we deal with a lot of this because, yeah, to throw a party for 8,000 people creates a lot of trash if you don't do it right, you know, that's especially true. If they're drinking. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Which they are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's cool, though. Just another mm-hmm. way to involve the community, care about the community.
That's right.
So mm-hmm. that's really mm-hmm. cool. I love how you've just really invested into the whole area with not just like, oh, hey, we're here to provide entertainment, but we're going to give you tons of things that are amazing besides the entertainment. So
yeah, that's cool. I mean, it's just talking points. And again, I think our industry is satiated with amphitheaters and people operating buildings and, you know, mm-hmm. live after COVID, especially live music really ramped up. And so a lot of bands touring again and stuff. And so for us to stand yeah. out, especially because we're in Alabama. So to get yeah. people to come to Alabama and go, wow, what yeah. a facility, whether it be yeah. the fan or the artist, it's like, we got to do things that really help us stand out that we can really get behind.
Right. Cause you want everybody coming. The artists bring the fans, right. the fans bring the artists. So
that's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, tell us about Apollo Park at the amphitheater.
Yeah, so Apollo Park, there's several aspects of it. So right now, what we have is Apollo South, which is the park that kind of surrounds the amphitheater. Mm-hmm. And to the north of us, they actually start construction this month, and it will go for a year, is they're building Apollo Park. It's a city project, a city park. We've always seen the amphitheater on the west side as the southwest anchor of this park. Mm-hmm. And so we knew that for this overall project, Mid-City, that the city's investment would be the park and the amphitheater and some other things here and there. But that's the big piece. And so mm-hmm. there's going to be a park that stretches to the north of us. It goes from us all the way to REI and Topgolf. There's mm-hmm. going to be kayak waterways, green spaces. Oh. And some of the kayak waterways, you'll launch over at REI. You can do a little kayak like trip all the way down to the Orion. You can kind of dock there, get out, you know, picnic, come and have, you know, beer, see a band, whatever. So we are just part of this bigger park. And so therefore it has always been, it goes back to what I was talking about as far as like being an amenity for the community. It's like, yeah. come to the park, come to the amphitheater. Oh, there's a yoga class. Oh, there's a local music showcase. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's, you know, this thing, these things happening. And meanwhile, you're kind of coming and going throughout the park. And so I think it's a really major anchor for this, not only this development, which is booming. Mid-City is going to be quite a scene coming up here in the next couple of years with what mm-hmm. they're bringing into this. But it's a pretty amazing development as far as how they're operating it. But the park is just such a cool thing. And for me, it's really exciting because this means we can do festivals too, where we can mm-hmm. have a stage over at the amphitheater, maybe a stage on the other side of the park. We can kind of take yeah. the whole park and make it a big, wide yeah. festival. And we kind of already do some pieces of that. Like, so if you come next week, you'll see we just built a barn on site called Jeff and Blues. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a Floribama type dive barn where you kind of mm-hmm. go in. It's a little rough and tumble. We have bands there, DJs with sporting events, stuff like that. And throughout the show season, we'll have after parties there, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it's just kind of a dive bar you can go to. Then we have a big dome where we have performances. And I don't know if you've seen them lately, but we have these massive art sculptures yes. in Apollo South. And they're beautiful. One's called Earth Bather. It looks like a woman who's like bathing in, you know, she's like 50 feet long and 20 yeah. feet high or whatever, just laying in the earth. And then the Peekaboo, this huge sculpture that's grabbing mm-hmm. trees, looking through. So we want art and music and, you know, just the nature aspect and health and wellness. And yeah, so that's it in a nutshell. I think we got here before the park, but the park's coming, which is great.
Yeah, that is so cool. Kayaking. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. And yeah. as a tourism person, I mean, what I'm hearing from all this is that a destination, like this is a destination place where it's not just, oh, you go see a concert and you go home. It's so, you know, yeah. spend the whole day.
It's spend the whole day. And, you know, yeah. it's like, that's the thing that's exciting. And you kind of nailed it. Cause it's like, as much as I harp on the fact that this is a community, you know, asset and an amenity for the people that live here in Huntsville, it really is such a big welcoming beacon to Huntsville in a mm-hmm. different way in North Alabama. And knowing that Hotel Indigo and some other hotels are being built right across mm-hmm. the street means people are going to spend the weekend here. You know, yes. if people are coming for Snoop Dogg, maybe they'll come on Monday and stay till Wednesday. And, you know, they're going to visit the local restaurants. They're going to head over to Muscle Shoals Sound Studio or go to Montesano and hike a trail or all the stuff we're trying to like really emphasize. Right. But yeah, we're becoming, you know, we saw it definitely with Dave Matthews and Phish and Widespread Panic and some of these bands. It's like, oh, wow, we're pulling from a lot of different places, like 47 different states bought tickets to see Phish or whatever, you know, or so it's, and you know, six different countries or whatever. So definitely helping push on the destination aspect for sure.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool that you've got the international visitors as well. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, you got the Space and Rocket Center that's nearby and that's always a big draw.
It is. And to that, like, it was really cool seeing. So this kind of speaks to us reputationally where we're at. The band Weezer chose Huntsville to kick off their summer tour. And we had gotten word from management that they had heard what a great place it was. You know, a lot of the same agent as like Jack White and some of the other bands that had played and management had spoken about what a great venue it was. So they had learned a lot about it and said, you know what, not only do we want to kick off our summer tour, but we want to spend a week there rehearsing and getting ready for tour and building our show and stuff. And I said, I love that stuff. Like to have a band here for a week or several days, like a couple extra nights. Phish has done it as well, Widespread. Some of these bands come in early. But to have Weezer here for a week, and it was amazing because we got to send them to NASA. They got a whole behind-the-scenes tour. They got to see so much of it. So having like the Space and Rocket Center here, having NASA here, having you know, all the Muscle Shoals heritage and history, music history over there, there's so many cool things that we can be doing for the artists that enrich. So it's like Weezer, as they were leaving, they were like, we feel like we've been at summer camp and this is like the hardest goodbye because it's like, we've had so much fun. It's so great. We were throwing barbecues for them and just having a really great time. But to push them towards some of these that they kind of blow it up. So when Weezer is putting on their Instagram, they're visiting NASA or the Space and Rocket Center, or whatever, the millions of followers they have get to see that. That's a real great thing for, you know, the Space and Rocket Center, for NASA, for Muscle Shoals Sound Studio, stuff like that. For some of these people we work with, it's like we get to amplify what they're doing to such a large audience.
And when you were saying that about being there a week, I'm like, oh, you get attached. Like they get attached, you get attached, and then it's just natural that they want to come back next year.
That's right. Yeah.
Do it all over again.
Yeah.
That is so cool. So what has been your favorite memory or event at the Orion so far?
You know, it's for me, because I put a lot of effort and work into making sure I wanted the message of what we were going to do here. I wanted it to be succinct and I wanted people to understand like what we were going to try to cover here. And so rewind a year and a half, 2 years ago, when I knew from the phone calls between Ben and I and some of us who are industry connections and stuff, we knew we could get Dave Matthews Band, Widespread Panic, Kenny Chesney, Jack White. There was like Robert Plant. There was all these artists that were like, we're coming, we're excited. A lot of these people we've known for a long time, we've done shows for, they trust that what we built is something that they want to get behind. All these artists were like, we want to be the artist that opens your venue. We want Dave Matthews to open your venue. Kenny Chesney's like, I want to open your venue. And it's like, it's great. We had them in the opening season and that's great. But what I wanted to do was build a very specific event. And that was the first Waltz weekend. And that to me, you know, I wanted it to be very Alabama. I wanted to go, not only is this in Alabama, but I want to show you in an eclectic way, as eclectic as possible, what that means. So, you know, we had Jason Isbell and Emmylou Harris and Waxahachie and then St. Paul and then Brittany Howard and Drive By Truckers and John Paul White. Like we started stacking this really amazing bill. And then we had that on a Friday and Saturday, and Sunday was all about the local community. We had some really great Huntsville, you know, musicians. We have the drum line here, a bunch of kids, and like we had all the local universities and gospel choirs and people coming out on Sunday. So it's pretty amazing that weekend. I mean, it made me want to cry. It was like so perfect as far as what we were trying to accomplish. And I think for the most part, people understood. People go, wow, what an amazing musical history. Here in Alabama. But even to get, like, for me, the legendary Mavis Staples to get here her here and to see David Hood from the Swampers come out and play bass for her. It was like, you're never going to see that again. Yeah. So we created, you know, some pieces of history that weekend. And that's how, in my mind, we opened this. And it's like, this is what we are. This is who we want to be. We could have been like this huge venue, really fancy, really well designed, you know, well operated. And here we are opening with Dave Matthews and Kenny Chesney and yada, yada. It's like, we love that. That is such a big part of it. Yeah. But first this, and we wanted to nail that. So that, to me, I'm really proud of that, you know, and for First Waltz, I mean, we'll do more of those. We'll do more events like that. But that, to me, was like, people kind of got it and people understood. It was a proud moment to pull that off.
Yeah, that is so cool. Cause we, you know, we've had, Rodney Hall on to talk about Fame and, you know, his dad and the history over in Muscle Shoals. And gosh, that documentary is amazing when you think about the history that's here, you know, and you tell people outside of here, you're like, oh my goodness, if you Google like world famous studios, the ones in Muscle Shoals will pop up. I mean, they will be in the top, you know, so that's so cool that you brought that in.
Yeah, it's so, I mean, it's so cool. And quickly on that, it's, you know, Rodney has become such a good friend and supporter of what we do. And so Fame is set up at every show. We love to help support and, you know, amplify what they're doing. But here's one thing that's really cool that a lot of people don't get to see. I'm sitting in one of the main artist dressing rooms right now. But if what people respond to is the aesthetic of the backstage here is very much late 1960s, early 1970s, North Alabama. And what I mean by that is there's a mix of NASA space program along with Muscle Shoals Fame Studios, and it's kind of bridged together. And in fact, we have some of the furniture here that was either in, you know, Fame or Muscle Shoals Sound Studio, well as in NASA. So the conference table in my main office downstairs is the one that came straight from NASA.
Wow.
And they were like, engineers sat around this table in the 1960s and put the man on the moon, and we were going to throw it out otherwise. And I said, we'll take it. So it's people, even if they don't get to go over to the studio, we have an area here where we have a ton of Fame and Muscle Sound Studio stuff, and we have a ton of NASA stuff. So the artists get to see what this area is all about. It's really cool.
Yeah. It's like the past and the future just hand in hand.
That's right.
So cool.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
So awesome. So what would you say then has been unexpected for you in this journey?
I'd say, I mean, it's how amazing North Alabama is. And I'm not trying to pander to the podcast, but it's, but truly, and I'll give you a very like black and white realization that my family and I came to. So 6 months ago, after being here for 4 years, 6 months ago, we had to figure out a way. We had to move off Montesano. We had to get out of this house we were in, and for a variety of reasons. And we were looking in Huntsville, and you know, we've been looking to buy land. My wife's a farmer, so we're looking for farmland around. And until then, we were trying to figure out what to do. Well, a close friend, an agent up in Nashville, was like, "While you guys are figuring this out, you can live in Nashville." And I was like, "Well, that might work because I have an office in Nashville. You know, we have projects that in Nashville as a company that are coming online at some point. I have a team there. I can drive down to Huntsville. It's not a big deal. I've been driving to Nashville." I said, "Okay." So we moved to East Nashville 6 months ago, and really great neighborhood, great restaurants, hip little venues. We could walk everywhere. It was great. I'll tell you what, within a matter of not even a month or more, my wife and I were like, we miss Huntsville. Like, we really miss North Alabama. And this is like, we were like, we can't wait. Nashville's going to feel awesome. Like, Huntsville's been great, but wow, Nashville, moving on up to Nashville. And Nashville is still great, but it kind of goes back to what we were talking about with the community aspect. It's like, oh, I miss having a very solid foundation of a community and people I'm seeing every day and working with. So we've moved back here and we couldn't be happier. And my wife was like, we're going to buy the farm here in North Alabama. We're going to be North Alabamians, you know, for the rest of our lives. And and so, which is great. You know, Nashville was only going to be temporary anyways, because we're looking to buy land somewhere between here and there. But it really drove home the fact that we fell in love with North Alabama. And it's the geography and the natural resources, and all of it is phenomenal. You know, we can go to caves and waterfalls and hike beautiful mountains and go down rivers, and that's beautiful. But the people, there's something really amazing about the people. And I fell in love with like the Muscle Shoals area with Rodney and then the Hoods, Judy and David Hood. Yeah. And it's like, you know, I was so honored last year that we got that Governor's Award of the Partnership Award of what we did with Muscle Shoals. Mm-hmm. And that to me was the point. It's like, we're here for North Alabama. It's, it's Huntsville, yes, but it's North Alabama. There's something that really resonates. And we've really gotten behind that. We really celebrate it. It just feels right. It's just a really great place to be. And yeah, we couldn't be happier being here. And we're here for the long haul. And I think that's the most surprising thing, you know, like, but it's a, you know, it's, you get people here and they fall in love pretty quickly. It was interesting to see the artist, Lana Del Rey, you know, it was a big mystery. What was she doing in Alabama? She, you know, she's this huge artist and, you know, what's going on with this? And she was recording over at Muscle Shoals Sound Studio and just kind of visiting friends and stuff. And her quote or her comment to the people at the studio was, you know, like, I'm in love with North Alabama. Like, people are real. Yeah. She's like, I'm sick of LA. People are fake. I want to live in North Alabama where people are real. And yeah, that kind of sums it up, you know?
Oh, I love that. That is so cool. Especially what you went from, no, not doing that to, you got to go back.
Well, yeah, I mean,
but I miss it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't sugarcoat it. You know, I was like, yeah, I didn't want to move here. And then I came here and I said, okay. And then, yeah, it took us going to Nashville for 6 months, even temporarily, to really miss it, to really miss like the things we fell in love with here.
Yeah. Well, your story is one reason why we named, you know, the podcast Unexpected Adventures, because, you know, we would talk to people outside of our region. They're like, well, I didn't know that was there. Well, I didn't know this was here. I didn't know, you know, so we thought, what about unexpected? And I mean, your story just nailed it. You just solidified it. So it's perfect. That's so awesome. Well, before we go, we always ask our Facebook followers what questions they want asked. And so the winning question today was, what signature food or drink do you recommend trying at the Orion?
Oh, yeah. So so one thing we do want to encourage people is to come early. And it's because we open up the little Apollo South area where we have a whole food park with food trucks, variety of local food trucks. We recently partnered with Church Street, who's they run Purveyor and the wine shop here, and a great local food group and a restaurant group. And they open Church Street Test Kitchen. There's great stuff out of there. I love the tuna tacos out of there. Those are really great. Ooh, I'd say between that and then Nika's. Nika's is a really great family-run food truck. I would suggest that. And then if I would encourage people to see if they ever see Chef Josh doing a pop-up here. And let me make a comment about Chef Josh.
Okay.
He's our in-house caterer here. And he caters for all the artists. And he runs Odette's over in Florence, which is a phenomenal restaurant.
Yeah.
So people love Odette's. He came to us through Jason Isbell's camp as well. Jason's manager, Tracy. I said, hey, Tracy, who did you get as caterer for Shoals Fest? This was a couple of years ago. She's like, oh, this guy, Josh, he's phenomenal. He even catered my wedding. He's so good. And I was like, great. And we fell in love with him. His food is very North Alabamic, Southern specific. Such great quality, supports local farmers, and he does a great job. Phenomenal food, artists love it. But he does pop-ups now and then outside in the food village, and those are always worth checking out.
Okay.
And so I would say Chef Josh. And then drink-wise, I think, you know, I'm a coffee drinker more than an alcohol drinker. So we have Charlie Foster's, a local coffee shop here, so I would go to that. But I know one thing that I love to see, we have Straight Ale and Yellowhammer, two local breweries who are always coming up with really great activations and beers that they're tasting here and doing really cool, like fun things. Like Yellowhammer brings out their huge fire truck that has a bunch of taps on it. So I would say, get some Chef Josh and a great beer from Yellowhammer or Straight Ale. And yeah, that's a win.
Okay. Sounds like a plan to me. Well, thank you so much for being here. This has been awesome.
Yeah, anytime. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, before we go, tell our listeners where they can get tickets, where they can find you on social media, all that good stuff.
Yeah. So I think I would encourage you can, you know, follow Orion Amphitheater. We have our website. We have our Instagram, Facebook pages. I would encourage people, this is something, especially if you live in North Alabama and there's a show you see get announced, I would sign up for our newsletter so you can get pre-sale opportunities before the tickets go on sale. Yes. But I would also encourage you, this is something we're very adamant about, is we run box office hours as much as possible, physical box office hours. Mm-hmm. If you come here and buy tickets from the box office, not only will you get a great selection of seats that you might not be able to find online, but you also will save on a ton of the fees sometimes that are through different sites and stuff.
Yes.
Always try to go through access.com, AXS.com. That's our only ticket provider through our website, or the physical box office. And a lot of times you can look at what seats are available. You can walk in, see where the seats are. Our box office staff is like absolutely friendly and engaged and wanting to help in every way. So I would encourage people, go to our website and sign up for the mailing list, but also encourage, once you're here, to really get those tickets from the physical box office. And anytime there's a big on sale, like we have Snoop Dogg goes on sale, there's a huge on sale party where people could come that day, it went on sale, and we've saved tickets for everyone and they save on fees, et cetera. So
that is good to know. I may show up then on ticket day.
Yeah. We're usually serving coffee and we have some treats for people who are there early standing in line. So,
oh, even more incentive.
Yeah.
Coffee and treats and tickets.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, awesome. Thank you again for being my guest. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
North Alabama's social platforms are linked in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next time with more about North Alabama adventures.